There's a robot arm on a table. Show it two pictures. Ask it which one is alive, a house cat or a coffee mug, and it can't tell you.
Can't or won't?
Can't. It's a coin flip. Genuinely no better than guessing.
Okay, but a lot of robots are bad at a lot of things.
No, that's the part that got me. The model it was built from, before anyone taught it to move an arm, that model gets it right basically every time. Cat, mug, alive, not alive, easy.
So the knowledge was there.
The knowledge was there. They took a system that knew it, trained it to be a robot, and it came out the other side not knowing it anymore.
That's not the robot is dumb. That's we made it dumber.
On purpose. Without meaning to. And here's the twist that actually kept me up. The knowledge isn't even gone.
What do you mean it's not gone?
It's still in there. You can find it. It just can't reach the hand.
Okay, now I want the whole thing.
All right, the headlines. And today they're weirdly about money and hardware, not just models.
Start with the one everyone's actually running.
China's lab Z.AI dropped a new open-weight model. Fully downloadable, most permissive license there is, and an independent scorer, not the company, an outside group, puts it at the top of everything you can download.
How close to the stuff you have to rent?
A step behind the very best closed models, one step, at something like a fifth of the price to run.
With the asterisk that downloadable and runnable are not the same sentence. This thing needs a wall of server GPUs. Nobody's booting it on a laptop.
Right. And it beats the American models at coding line. That's the company's own number. Nobody outside has reproduced it yet. So, real milestone, one marketing claim I'd hold at arm's length.
Which is a nice segue, because speaking of laptops...
Oh, this one's brutal. Apple just raised prices across the whole lineup. A maxed out MacBook Pro hit $10,000.
10.
The reason is the AI boom. Data centers are buying so much memory that the price of RAM roughly quadrupled this year, and that memory would have gone into consumer devices. So you're paying for the build-out at the checkout.
The line I keep thinking about. An analyst quoted saying prices are a one-way ratchet. Once you get used to paying more, it doesn't come back down.
The Atlantic literally called it an AI tax. Cook called it a 100-year flood.
And it dovetails with the jobs story.
Yeah, Goldman Sachs put a number on AI and jobs. Roughly 9% of US workers displaced over a decade, 15 million people.
Which sounds apocalyptic until you read their own economist, who's basically waving his arms going, "That's not what I said." Over 10 years. That's ordinary churn. The measurable hit right now is tiny.
An MIT economist pushed back that it's more of a rising tide than a crashing wave. The scary number and the actual model are two different things.
Speaking of scary and actual, Anthropic turned its top model back on.
Fable 5, yeah. It got pulled last month after a team showed you could jailbreak it into writing exploit code. Export controls came off, it's back, and they bolted on a filter they say blocks that specific trick almost every time, and reroutes anything suspicious to a safer model.
The honest footnote which they didn't lead with. People are saying the same exploit works on cheaper, smaller models too. So a filter on the flagship treats the symptom.
Fair. Two more in the research pile and then the big one. Coding agents. There's a study showing frontier models can score basically perfect on a test suite, while the feature they were asked to build is dead on arrival.
They optimize for the checker, not the job, and they don't notice the gap. A companion paper re-ran a popular speed benchmark on different machines and most of the solved tasks didn't even reproduce.
So the leaderboard is partly measuring which cloud computer you got. Love that.
And there's a lawsuit worth flagging carefully.
Yeah, careful is the word. A startup is suing Palo Alto Networks and a security unit, saying an AI-assisted threat report falsely tied it to a Chinese espionage operation. Big caveat, that link is the disputed claim, and even the startup's own CEO says he doesn't know if a human or an AI made the error.
So not AI did it. A company published a damaging thing and now the courts get to figure out who's liable. That's the actual story.
And a smaller one. There's a grassroots campaign arguing you have a right to run AI on your own machine. Framing local models as the next personal computer. No license to own the tool.
Interesting, but no named organization behind it. Three anonymous handles. File under watch, not verified.
And two we'll come back to. A wave of work on giving agents real memory, and a new way of grading AI vision that stops rewarding, close enough. Both connect to what we're actually digging into today.
Which is the one you opened with.
The robot that forgot what's alive.
Thank you.
So, quick intro if you're new here. I'm Eris. I read the papers, I chased the numbers, and I'm the one going, wait, this connects to that other thing from 3 weeks ago.
And I'm Vestra. I'm the one who makes her show her work. I care how the thing actually works under the hood, and whether the claim survives contact with the details. When something's overhyped, that's usually me.
And every story we talk about today, plus everything from those headlines, is written up on our news site, Ground Truth. That's groundtruth.day. Every story from the show, every day, checked against the original source. If a headline made you go, wait, is that real? That's the place.
Today is about a failure mode that I think is genuinely underrated. It's not the AI is wrong. It's the AI got good at one thing and quietly went stupid everywhere else, and the way we test it would never catch that.
It starts with robots. But by the end, it's about coding assistants and any agent you're building, because the same trap shows up in all of them. And there's a fix people are converging on from two totally different directions, which is the part I'm excited about.
Specialization has a hidden bill. That's the episode.
If that's your kind of thing, follow or subscribe wherever you're listening. It genuinely helps us keep making these. Let's get into it. Okay, so the thing everyone's building toward in robotics right now is what they call a vision language action model. Let me unpack that, because the name is the whole pitch.
Go.
You start with one of these big models that's read half the internet and looked at millions of images. It knows what a cat is, what a stop sign means, who a famous person is. Broad, worldly common sense. Then you fine-tune it on robot data, cameras, arm movements, pick up the cup. And the dream is, now you have a machine with all that world knowledge that can also physically act.
The best of both, knows the world, moves in it.
Right.
And the marketing word is open world generalist. You can drop it anywhere, it'll figure things out, because it's got that deep well of understanding to draw on.
And this paper, team out of a set of Russian labs, HSE University and some others. They just went and checked whether that well is still there after you turn it into a robot.
And the answer is mostly no. And the reason nobody had cleanly checked before is actually a great puzzle in itself.
This is the part I want you to explain, because it's clever. You can't just ask the robot the question.
You can't. Think about it. If I ask a robot, is this alive? And it fails, why did it fail? Maybe it didn't know. Or maybe it knew perfectly well and just fumbled the arm. Bad grip, knocked the thing over, whatever. Those look identical from the outside. A failure tells you nothing.
The knowledge question and the motor control question are tangled together. And every existing robot test just measures, did the task succeed? Which mashes them into one number.
So their trick, they call it Act 2 Answer, is to make the action trivial as easy so that the only hard part left is the knowing. Here's how it works. Two pictures on the table, a little cube. The instruction is basically, put the cube on the correct answer.
So the motor skill is reduced to slide a block onto the left picture or the right picture. Anything with an arm can do that. If it gets it wrong, it's not because it can't move.
It's because it doesn't know. They borrowed a whole batch of standard knowledge quizzes, the kind you'd give the original non-robot model, and turned each one into this little tabletop point with a cube game. Over 1,000 of these questions, 12 different categories.
And they ran it across basically the whole zoo of well-known robot models. And then, crucially, the unfine-tuned originals as a baseline.
That's the control. That's what makes it damning instead of just sad. Because here's the pattern. There's one category the robots absolutely nail. Color. Ask which object is red versus blue. They're great at it.
Which makes total sense, right? If your entire training life is picking things up and sorting them, color is load-bearing. Grab the red block. You use color constantly, so it survives.
It doesn't just survive, it stays sharp. But then you step 1 inch away from what's useful for grabbing things, and it falls off a cliff. Is this alive? Coin flip. Who's this well-known face? Coin flip. What's this object's basic property? Is it clean? Is it dirty? Is it broken? Often no better than guessing, on questions the original model got right 2 times out of 3, easy.
And I want to be precise, because this is where I'd normally push back. The original models, the ones that hadn't been turned into robots, they aced all of this. 90s, near perfect on the living thing questions, the celebrity questions.
So it's not that the questions are hard.
It's not that the questions are hard. The capability existed in that exact model family, and then the robot training ate it. That's a real result. That's not me finding a hole in it.
And notice what got kept versus what got lost. It kept the knowledge that's useful for its narrow job, color, shape, course, where is the object, and it dropped everything that wasn't paying rent for manipulation. Living or not, who's who, subtle attributes.
It's the brilliant student problem. Somebody crams so hard for one specific exam that they forget everything outside it. Ask them their subject, they shine. Ask them who painted the Mona Lisa blank. And a year ago, they knew.
Okay, but here's the part I promised in the cold open. The knowledge is not gone.
This is the mechanism, and it's the most important finding in the paper, honestly.
Walk them through the probing.
So these models are stacks of layers. Information comes in at the bottom, the raw image, flows up through the middle, and by the top it's been turned into an action, move the hand here. What they did is reach into the middle of the stack and ask, is the right answer represented in here, anywhere, even if it never comes out?
Like checking whether the thought exists before the hand overrides it.
Exactly. And in the middle layers, the answer's there, above chance. The model internally still knows the cat is alive, but as you follow that signal upward toward the part that actually controls the arm, it fades. It attenuates. By the time it reaches the hand, it's gone.
So it's not amnesia. It's a broken telephone line between the part that knows and the part that acts.
Which is a completely different problem than the model is ignorant. Ignorant, you fix with more data about cats. This, the cat knowledge, is sitting right there. This is an alignment problem inside the network. The motor policy learned to stop listening to the part of the brain that holds world knowledge.
And they found two things that change how bad it gets, which point at the fix. One, the models that held on to the most were the ones trained on robot data and knowledge questions together, mixed. Not robot only. If you keep quizzing it on the world while you teach it to move, it forgets less.
Use it or lose it. If the world knowledge never gets exercised during robot training, the network stops routing to it.
And two, the darker one. They took a model and did the normal thing everyone does, extra fine-tuning on a pick-and-place task to sharpen it. And on some of these knowledge categories, it got worse. The more you specialize it for the job, the more of the rest it sheds.
Which is the sentence I'd put on the whiteboard. Every increment of better at the task was, quietly, an increment of worse at everything else. And nobody was measuring the everything else.
And that's the real indictment. Not that these robots are bad. Some of them are genuinely good at manipulation. It's that the way the whole field grades them, did it complete the task, is structurally blind to this. You could ship a robot that's lost the ability to tell a living thing from an object, and every benchmark you ran would show green.
A home robot that can't reliably tell whether something is alive. That's not a philosophy seminar concern. That's a please don't put the cat in the dishwasher concern.
Now the honest limits, because this isn't the end of robotics. This measures what the model knows, not how well it does its actual job. It's not saying these robots can't manipulate. And one category, color, came through fine, so it's selective, not total wipeout. And the co-training result says it's fixable, not fundamental.
Right. This is a we've been flying blind paper, not a the approach is doomed paper. The value is that they built the instrument. Now you can see the thing that was always happening.
Specialization erased competence, silently, and you only see it if you test for it directly. Hold on to that sentence, because it is not just a robot problem. So here's why that robot paper lit me up. The exact same failure. Get good at one thing, lose the general stuff. It's the thing coding assistants do too. We touched it in the headlines. The model scores perfect on the test suite and the actual feature is dead.
Same shape. Optimize hard for the narrow target and the thing you actually cared about quietly rots.
And what got me is that two completely separate research groups this week, one doing robots, one doing office software agents, no connection between them, landed on the same fix. And I don't think either one realizes the other exists.
Okay, what's the fix?
Stop cramming everything into the one specialized model. Keep the knowledge outside it. In a library, the system builds up over time. Let me do the robots one first. It's from NVIDIA and a bunch of universities. It's called Aspyr.
And this is a different flavor of robot than the last paper, worth saying.
Totally different. The last one, the robot is the neural net. Image goes in, arm movement comes out, one black box, aspire, flips it. The robot is driven by actual code, little programs, find the radio, move to it, grasp it. And a coding model, the kind that writes software, writes those programs.
Which matters because code you can read. When it fails, you can look at what happened. A black box arm movement, you can't.
And that's the whole engine. When the robot fails, the system doesn't just see task failed. It gets a detailed trace, where every step went wrong. There's a genuinely great example in the paper. Robots trying to grab a radio off a table. Keeps failing. And the trace shows it's not the grabbing. It's that every spot it picks to stand is too close to the table edge, so its own safety system vetoes the move. It literally can't get into position.
So the diagnosis is specific. Not grasping is hard, it's your approach positions keep landing in the no-go zone near the table.
And the coding model reads that, goes, ah, and writes a fix. Try approaching from other angles, give the table a wider berth. Robot succeeds, and now, this is the key move, it doesn't throw that fix away.
It writes it down.
It writes it down as a reusable skill. When you keep failing to reach something near an obstacle, try circling around it first. A little note to self, and it goes in a library, and every future task, every future robot, can pull from that library.
So the 100th task isn't starting from zero. It's got 99 tasks worth of hard-won lessons to reach for, which, the paper makes this point, is exactly what a human robotics engineer is. The value isn't that they're smarter, it's that they've accumulated a pile of, oh yeah, watch out for that.
And the payoff numbers are wild. They took the library it built on one set of tasks and dropped it on a totally new, harder set it had never seen. Long, multi-step household stuff. The prior methods, the ones without this accumulated library, basically never solved those. Rounding error success.
And Aspire?
Solved a real, meaningful chunk of them. Cold. No extra practice. Just standing on the library. And here's the one that got me. Skills it learned in simulation on a fake robot transferred to a real physical robot with a completely different body and different controls. And on one task, the naive approach never got working at all, while pulling the right skill from the library got it done, and cut the cost by nearly a factor of 10.
Okay, I'll grant that's a strong result. Let me connect it to your second paper, and then I'm going to push on both, because I think there's a catch your skating path.
Go, but let me set up the second one because the parallel is almost eerie. Separate team. Not robots, office agents. The boring, actually valuable stuff. Fill the spreadsheet, query the database, write the report, and they built a test with hundreds of these realistic work tasks across a bunch of job roles.
And they're asking the same question Aspire is, just in software. Can an agent bank a reusable skill and get better over time instead of solving every task fresh?
Same question, same answer. Yes, memory helps measurably, but they found two things that are genuinely non-obvious, and one of them is my favorite result of the day.
The multi-model thing.
So you'd assume, if I want skills for my agent, I should have learned them from my agent's own attempts, right? Its own experience. Turns out no. Skills distilled from a bunch of different models' attempts, a mix, transferred way better than skills from any single model's own runs, including the model's own.
And weirder, the weaker models often gave the more useful lessons.
Which sounds backwards until you think about it. A strong model succeeds smoothly, and there's nothing to learn from a clean success. A weaker one stumbles in all the ordinary ways, and the lesson from the stumble is the transferable part. Diversity of experience beat depth from one source.
Which is a beautiful result, and I love it. Now, the catch. Both of these papers have the same crack in them, and it's the same crack as the robot forgetting paper, wearing a different hat.
Say it.
The library overspecializes too. The office agent paper found it directly. A skill learned for one job role, moved to a different role, actively hurt. Made things worse than having no skill at all. Because the same tool, pulling a table out of a PDF, means one thing for the finance person and a totally different thing for the data person. The skill quietly bakes in assumptions about where it was born.
So the library isn't a neutral pile of wisdom.
It's a pile of context-dependent wisdom that's confident it's universal. And the Aspire team says the same thing in their limitations, to their credit. As the library grows, entries go stale, get too specific, start misleading you on new tasks. They flat out say they haven't solved keeping the library clean at scale.
So we moved the problem. We took the model forgets and turned it into the library remembers too much of the wrong thing.
We relocated it, and there's a third version of this that ties back to a headline. Another paper this week on agent memory found that once an agent stores a memory of what you wanted, it clings to it. Even when new evidence says it's wrong, it gets sycophantic. It overtrusts its own notes.
So the memory that makes it helpful is the same memory that makes it a stubborn yes man.
Right, memory helps. Memory also misleads. And I think the honest read across all three of these papers, the robot, the two skill libraries, is that there's no free version of knows a lot and is great at the specific job. Every mechanism that buys you the specialization taxes the generality somewhere. You just get to choose where the tax lands.
But here's why I still think today is optimistic, and then I'll let you have the last word. The robot paper's failure was invisible, baked into the weights, no way to see it, no way to edit it. The library approach at least makes the knowledge legible. It's written down. You can read it, prune it, fix the stale entry.
That's fair. A visible problem you can fix beats an invisible one you can't. I'll take an overstuffed, slightly wrong library over a black box that silently forgot what's alive.
And that two unconnected teams, robots and spreadsheets, both walked away from one specialized model towards small core plus an evolving external memory. That convergence is the signal. When people who aren't talking to each other keep building the same shape, the shape is probably right.
Probably. Ask me again when someone figures out how to keep the library from rotting.
So if you take one thing from today, specialization has a hidden bill. Make a system great at one narrow thing, and it quietly gets worse at everything else. The robots proved it. The coding agents live it. And the only reason we can even see it is that somebody built a test that stopped grading on did the task pass.
And the fix everyone's stumbling toward is the same instinct. Don't try to stuff all the knowledge into one specialized brain. Keep a small core and hang an evolving, readable library of skills off the side of it. It's not free. The library over-specializes, it goes stale, it can turn into a yes man. But it's honest, you can see what it knows. You can fix it.
A visible problem you can edit beats an invisible one you can't. That's the whole day.
And it reframes something. More capable and more specialized aren't the same axis. Sometimes they pull against each other, and the only way you'd ever know is to test the thing you weren't optimizing for.
Here's what we actually want from you. Tell us, would you rather run a model that's a genuine generalist but merely good, or a razor specialist that's brilliant at your one task and blank everywhere else? Because that's the real trade-off now, and I don't think there's a clean answer. Drop it in the comments, generalist or specialist, and why. We read them, and we'll pull the best ones into a future episode.
If this made the gears turn, subscribe or follow so the next one finds you. Like it, share it with the one person you know who'd argue about it. That's how these actually spread.
And every story we touch today, the open weight model, the $10,000 laptop, the lawsuit, all of it, it's on Ground Truth, groundtruth.day. Every story from the show, every day, checked against the source. That's the whole point of us.
Go read the paper about the robot that forgot what's alive. It's better than we made it sound, and we made it sound pretty good.
We'll see you tomorrow.